Elisa Hope Wagner said, when I train...
Hey, you know, I think I mislabeled that because... There we
Hi,
go.
Hi, this is Pastor Ken.
Look, Kim, I'm going to let you jump in. Hold on a second, because I must have mislabeled it, because I have this one as the opening closing, and it's
okay.
A prayer. Let me try that again.
Okay. Okay.
Elisa Hope Wagner said, when I train for my...
Well, here, why don't you go ahead and start the show, and I'm going to apologize. I'm going to get that fixed right now. Why don't you tell everybody and bring on D, and we'll get the music playing in a second.
Okay.
He's live, so go ahead and so are you. Let's start.
Welcome, everyone, to Rage in the Cage Hour on MMA Madhouse. I'm your host, Kimber Schaefer, and joining me tonight is special guest host on our second episode is pro fighter D. Burtsfield.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Yeah, D, we have a special opener for the show, and we're going to get that up in just a little bit. I just wanted to go ahead and thank John Kaiser and Alec Jeans for putting that together for us, and we'll get it up in just a minute. Now on to our co-host, D. Burtsfield. D, I introduced you so many times as a pro fighter, but, I mean, you really run the entire gamut, MMA, boxing, kickboxing, and Muay Thai. Talk a little bit about your background, D, and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, you know, and it's something I wanted to do from the beginning. As I started studying different arts as a boxer, I wanted to become pro in all four sports, all four of those arts, be more versatile of a fighter, find more fights, you know, as far as a career move. I learned that in football as a kid. You know, the more positions you were able to play, the more value you had to your team. But as far as my background, I started off boxing under Buck Smith, who was under Sean O'Grady in Oklahoma City. I started at a fairly late age, at 26. Fought amateur, had a pretty good amateur run. Was the 2008 Golden Glove champion boxer of Oklahoma and the Midwest region, and went to the Worlds. So I had a good run in boxing, a small run in amateur MMA. And that's it kind of threw me into MMA at that point. But I went from boxing to kickboxing under senior master Rob Tucker, who trained under Bill Superfoot Wallace, and got some background from him on kickboxing and jiu-jitsu, then started studying Muay Thai. And it was one of my favorite arts from the beginning. But with very little wrestling background at all, actually none through high school or any college, the jiu-jitsu is what I've started to really have to know, because that's where most of the fights are going. So it's probably my weakest point, but that's something that's got to be one of your strongest points anymore in MMA. But yeah, that's kind of where my background has been and where I'm at. And I've been in the game for quite some time now, And you know, glad to be part of interviewing these young men and all the youth I see coming up in MMA and having positive changes in their life off MMA. It motivates me to keep going. And I'm real honored to be here and be co-hosting with you tonight and being able to be part of one more great thing Rage in the Cage does for the Oklahoma City community, for the fight community, for the Oklahoma community, and for these local fighters, is take time like this and really publicize what's going on, you know, in Oklahoma MMA, and that's amazing. So I appreciate you guys.
Well, thank you. I'm so grateful to have you on the show, Dee, because, you know, you're just a great person. You have a great knowledge. You've been in the business for a long time. I mean, if there were anybody that would be the perfect co-host for me, it's definitely you. And so I'm blessed to have you on for sure. I also know that at one point you did have your own boxing gym, your own MMA gym, and I believe that was actually a Christian-based program. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, of course, after the first run I had, a boxing gym there in Tuttle, Oklahoma, where I graduated high school from. I thought that, you know, that's boxing something that really saved my life, even though it was later in my life. It was a time I needed it. And Buck Smith is a Oklahoma legend in boxing, if you look him up. And he really, really saved my life at that point, and it really changed my life. So I started a boxing gym. Boxing is not real big anymore. You know, it was a gym where I wasn't even being able to pay the bills to keep it going in that small town, and with this, with MMA taking over the state. I started running an MMA gym, the Center of Mixed Martial Arts in El Reno, Oklahoma. And I seen, you know, a lot in MMA is something, MMA and fighting, sanctioned fights, really helped a turning point along with God in changing my life. And running the gym in El Reno, I seen where some of the kids that needed the help weren't getting the help they needed. And I wanted to reach out to those kids. So we started a nonprofit God-based program. We were sponsored by the Assembly of God Church in Minkle, Oklahoma. We had kids coming from El Reno, Union City, Blanchard, Chickasha, Gary, amateur fighters. We had no age limit on our program. It was free of charge, ran off donations. And we incorporated God. It wasn't a, you have to go to church here, you have to pray, or you have to, you know, be perfect. It was just incorporating prayer in these young men and women's life. Because that's what was important, is making sure they had a relationship with God, you know, for their journey to be successful. And we got a lot of people off the streets, just even in that small town, radiated. And it really was a great program. It ran as long as it could. I had a pastor change, and we lost our building. Now here in Chickasha, Oklahoma, we've had interest from the local YMCA of starting an after-school program again. So Ignite Fighting, which is the name that I, you know, as I prayed, I felt that was the name that was supposed to be, is ignite your Holy Spirit, ignite the fire inside of you, and have the passion to burn and do things that you want to do in life, do positive things in your life, you know, and let that light, let that fire burn inside. And it's a great opportunity, and I really, you know, I put some prayer and hope into the YMCA here in Chickasha and that program continuing. So that's where I'm at right now.
It's awesome. It's life-changing for so many. I'm sure I'm just sure that so many lives were changed by all that effort that you put into that program. Really proud of you.
It was amazing. It was my pleasure. So something I love doing. So.
Good, and I know you're good at that kind of stuff. You're a giving person, and the world sure could use a lot more Dee Burchfields, that's for sure.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit. I know this program, we're going to mostly focus on Rage in the Cage 30 that's coming up on August 15th, but let's go ahead and go back and recap a little bit. Dee, you fought on the card, Rage in the Cage 29. This was in the Bricktown area last month. I mean, the show was epic. I mean, it went just under 4 hours. We were worried about the time. I mean, this card was completely packed with some power pack fights. I think it was 14 fights on that card. And, I mean, it went down in the Oklahoma history books for sure. You yourself got a first-round win over Ed Ellis. What were some other of your most memorable moments from that night? I mean, there's so many.
Yes, what an amazing night. The atmosphere was beautiful. The energy was right. Oklahoma City was rocking. The ballroom was beautiful. Us fighters, we felt like, you know, we felt like kings back there, I'm going to tell you. There's a great vibe in my corner. I did have a great night. That was a beautiful, beautiful night. And it really was a blowout show, like you said. That was epic. That was perfect. But I tell you, you know, and I've got a chance to watch the DVD. I didn't get to watch a lot of the fights because I was near the end of the card. But with my fight with Ed Ellis, it was another super heavyweight fight where I had wanted to use speed and striking. And, you know, I end up dropping him with a leg kick and finishing ground and pound fairly quickly. And that's what I planned on doing. And That helps me that I was able to stick to my game plan and make him fight my game plan. That was a stepping stone for me in that direction to build on that. That, you know, okay, here's my game plan. A lot of fighters, you know, all of us fighters go on the game plan. But it's hard sometimes to stick to that game plan. and I stuck to the game plan that, I had came up with, and I had been backed by Arturo Espinoza. I even had Trenton Wilkinson back there, and they knew the game plan, and the game plan worked, and we got the win. So it was great. But I tell you, being here in Chickasha now, I'm a big fan of Milk Sanchez, Marcus Sanchez, and his fight really stuck out to me because I've seen him fight every fight, and he's undefeated. He's a legitimate next-level fighter that we were really blessed to have on Rage in the Cage 29. I was honored to be on the poster with him because he does have that bright of a future in this sport. And I seen him get tested. He got pressed. Milk fought, Shook, the guy from Houston. But forgive me that I can't remember his name. I feel horrible for that. His opponent, who was from Houston, Texas, really pressed Milk in that fight. And Milk got to show, hey, I'm a tough guy too. He's slick with his hands. He's real slick with his game. But he got to show that, hey, under pressure, I can endure and go forward. Another fight I love seeing was the amateur debut of Jason Baker. And a very dominant fight. He comes out and just really dominantly fights and
he
finished
took that
his opponent
last
quickly.
Minute, so.
He took that, within a few
Timber.
Days.
Hey, guys. First off, I want to tell you guys, we have our first guest in queue and the music set. I want to apologize to you and the fans. I uploaded it into the wrong show. I don't know why I put it on the LA show, but for some reason I put it in their file. That was completely on me. I apologize to you and
You're
the fans.
Fired.
Man, I do so many shows, it gets confusing sometimes, but I do have it ready. So do you want to play that, and then when we come back, you want to go to Austin, or do you just want to wait till the end of the show? That's your call.
Let's go ahead and let's play this. This is something special that we're wanting to debut tonight. This was produced by John Kaiser, who is an Oklahoma genius when it comes to music, and then music artist Alec Jeans, and we are just so grateful to them. So you guys, you are not going to want to miss this. It's about a minute long, so stay tuned, and we'll get back to Dee, and then we're going to toss it over to Austin after Dee and I talk for just another minute or two. And we've got a lot of exciting things on the show, so we'll talk about that, and let's go ahead and play the music.
Rage in the cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the cage. Better keep your hands up. Take down full mount without giving heads up. Secure your limbs or you're gonna hear a snap. This ground and pound will lay you down for a nap. I sink it in and my advice is you should tap. I wouldn't be scared because I'm comfortable on my back. And if we're talking about jujitsu, I promise my rubber guard will get you. Get you with my overhand, you won't know what hit you. I promise that the fans aren't gonna miss you. Rage in the cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the cage on the MMA Madhouse Network.
What do you think about that, Dean?
Wow, wow. I'm literally dancing right now.
I know. Me too.
Now, that was a jam. I know everyone listening got pumped up on that. That pumped me up.
Yeah, no kidding. And every week from now on, we'll just have to get Skippy on the ball. You will hear that at the open of our Rage in the Cage Oklahoma show. And I'm so excited about it. I mean, these guys put it together pretty last minute. I just talked to them about it yesterday, and I was figuring we might have it in a week or two. But they surprised me today, so I'm floored. so thankful. I know that they're probably listening out there, and we're so thankful for their talent and that they shared it with us. We couldn't be more blessed.
Hey, that's my kind of jamming, Kimber.
Yeah.
I can jam. I know all the fighters on this card that we have on tonight. I know they love that song.
Oh, I'm sure. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about Raging Rage 29. We were talking about Milk's opponent, and I believe his name was Rashid Abdullah. And he was actually in a car accident the night before. And,
yeah.
I mean, he made it to the fight. We were so impressed that he was able to show up after what he'd been through. And he did. He put Milk to the test. And, in fact, this is the first time Milk had not finished a fight via KO. So,
yeah.
I mean, he just had to finish it however he could at that point. So now let's move on to Raising the Cage 30. I mean, it's another power-packed card. Two former Bellator fighters as headliners. We've got Jeremy Spence, Cody Carrillo, both of them on the program last week, as well as Tyler Griffin and Chris Brooks. Man, this is a card that you're just not going to want to miss out on. What are your thoughts on it, Dee?
Oh, I think it's amazing. I think it's, I mean, it just keeps getting better. You know, Rage in the Cage 29, I thought, wow, all three of the guys on the poster won, might I add. Ken Coulter,
Milt
Sanchez, and myself, all three of the poster guys won, so that's good. No, but, you know, it was huge. It was packed. It was wild. And now this card is just as packed and has three for sure set. Very, very amazing pro fights, along with several fighters that fought on Rage in the Cage 29 and won. They're coming back, facing very tough opponents. I mean, there's no easy wins here August 15th. These are all going to be earned. You're going to see a lot of heart, a lot of drive, and this is some really good matchups, I got to say.
Well, and we'll talk about some of it later tonight because we've got some of those fighters on the card, but I mean, some of them, their fighting style is almost identical. So, I mean, it is just going to be on the edge of your seat tonight with some of these fights. And, you know, just going in, we have no clue. You know, sometimes going into a fight card, you can kind of say, well, I think this fighter is going to win it.
Yeah.
On this
yeah.
card, I mean, there are so many fights where it's just a guessing game. I mean, there is no...
Yeah, yeah.
No yes or no.
The only two guys, only two people in the whole stand that know they're going to win, and in the whole show that know they're going to win or should know, is the two fighters getting in the beginning. Both fighters get in there believing they're going to win. You know, as far as anyone else with shows like this, yeah, we're kind of on edge of your seat. Like, this could go either way real quick, you know. My favorite amateur fight on the whole card is Ken Coulter and Austin Headhunter Gunner. And we got them both on the show tonight. That's something that I am ready to see.
Well, you know, and the funny thing is, Dee, is you and I, we could really spend the entire hour just talking about this card and not having any guests on, but since we're running a little bit behind on our interviews, and I know that we already have one interview ready to go, I mean, this card is just that good. We could just talk all night about it. Here's some of the things we're going to look forward to tonight. We've got pro MMA fighter Zachariah Kelly. He's a champion in the cage with 9 wins in his pro career. We'll talk about his upcoming fight versus a tough opponent, Camille Haley. Also, two of Oklahoma's toughest amateur 155ers. You just talked about them, Ken Coulter and Austin Gunner. They're going to talk about their fight on August 15th at Rage in the Cage 30. And then we have upcoming star Austin Kyle Conrad. He's going to be on. But first up, I know Austin Gunner's been waiting patiently to get on the air. So, Dee, let's go ahead and get Austin Gunner on the line with us.
Let's do it. Austin, are you here?
Yeah, Dee, how's it going? Hi, Kimber, how are you doing?
I'm great. So glad to have you on, Austin.
I'm great.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Yeah, what's
Head
up,
Hunter.
Dee?
Hey, you know, I got to talk to you a little bit today on Facebook, and you know how excited I am to see you fight, and I love both you guys. Me and Kimber were talking earlier about how you guys, in my belief, and tell me if I'm wrong, y'all are kind of the same build, same style of fighters in a lot of ways. Do you feel that way going into this fight, Austin?
Yeah, I really do. You know, at the first glance I seen at the card, you know, I seen Ken Coulter's name up on the top of it, and I seen mine right underneath it, and, you know, it didn't say that who our opponents were. So I kind of, you know, had the idea that, you know, that's who I was going to come in and end up having to face off with, which, you know, I didn't really expect nothing less. You know, last time I was in the cage was at Rage in the Cage 28. You know, I had a disappointing loss against Brody Claruth for the 155-pound title, amateur. So, yeah. I've been watching Ken since February. I've knew that this fight was going to happen. So, you know, I've been preparing for him, for his takedowns, for his striking. I know he's a tough guy, and, you know, I'm just going to go out there and show him what I got. You know, this is a matchup where this is an inner city boy versus, you know, a country fella out here in the sticks, you know, so
yeah.
It's going to be a good fight. I'm really excited, and I can't wait.
I wanted to tell you about Rage in the Cage 28 on that title fight. I want to tell you how proud I was of you, Austin. I've known you for quite a while. I know the Queen boys for quite a while, your brother-in-laws. You guys are a fighting family, I tell you. But, you know, I was so proud of you when it went to the ground. I mean, you went to the ground against a guy from Solid MMA, which is one of the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu schools here in Oklahoma. And you went for the rear naked choke, and you had it. I mean, you almost had him at least
three
twice,
times.
I think it was
three.
Yeah,
times.
Yeah, I mean,
trying to lock that in.
Yeah, and that was one of the things. You know, he didn't expect me to come out there and grapple with him. And I mean, I've been involved in wrestling ever since I was 4 years old. As soon as I started to walk, so grappling is really my forte.
Yeah.
you could say. Because I mean, yeah. that's what I've always trained in. But as of here lately, you know, I've been working on my striking a whole lot, striking and cardio. I'm really trying to turn it up because I really felt like I had that fight in my hands. You know what I mean? Like
yes.
I was this close to finishing it, and it was really, you know, gut wrenching to me to take that L. And, you know, prior to that, I had an awesome fight at OSC 1 against Derek Atkins. It went all
yes.
three rounds. You know, and, I strung two disappointing losses together, man. But I'm really working hard, and I'm definitely preparing to put on a show for Rage in the Cage fans come the 15th.
Yeah, it makes you real hungry, brother. I've been in those shoes. I've had those type of losses. It makes you – It'll either make you quit or make you hungry, and I know that you are very hungry right now. And, you know, a win over Ken Coulter could put you in the lineup for another shot at that 155 belt. I mean, let's be honest. Do you feel that way?
Yes. Yes, I do. And that's definitely what I'm aiming for, man, because honestly, I feel like I don't know what the thing's going on with Brody, but I heard that he was supposed to fight on this card, but he decided to hold off until September. So as soon as I heard that I got the chance, you know, to step up and fight Ken, you know, yeah, I'm down to fight. You know, all these people can talk and say that they're the baddest, you know, 155 pounders. Like I told you earlier on Facebook, I'm not going to sit here and make that claim. But what I will say is I'm one of the toughest, and I'm going to push Ken Coulter harder than he's ever been pushed before.
Amen. And I know that's going to happen. So psyched for you. Kimber, how are you feeling about this now?
I'm so excited about it. I mean, just, you know, even from talking today about, you know, how your fighting styles are so similar. And, I mean, so what do you think, Austin, that is really what you're going to need to be successful against Ken Coulter? Because, I mean, we know, we saw him in the last fight where he escaped, what was it, three triangle chokes? In a
yes,
row, so we know he's a powerhouse. So, what do you think you need to do to overcome that?
Right, he's a bit shorter than me. He's really stocky. You know, I'm expecting he's going to come out and try to take me down. I'm going to defend his takedowns. I'm going to stuff his takedowns, and then I'm going to counter off that. You know, in MMA in this sport, it only takes one mistake. It only takes one mistake, and you're not going to be able.
Yeah.
You can get knocked out. You can get tapped out, and that's all it is. I'm going to utilize my weapons off of his mistakes. So I'm really looking forward to the matchup, and I can't be more emphasized on how excited I am to get in the ring and fight this guy.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm huge fans of both of yours, and I love you guys, and this is going to be the fight I want to see out of the whole card. I tell you, is you two guys. You both mean a lot to me in the game, and I love what you're doing for the sport, you know, coming up in these generations. I wanted to tell you congratulations on your baby.
Thank you very much.
And you're going to welcome to fatherhood, my man, and I know you're going to be a great dad as well. So.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Dee.
Awesome. So tell us about any special preparations you're taking as far as this fight after watching his fighting style. I mean, are you upping your jiu-jitsu? What are you doing differently this time?
Well, like I said, I've been working a lot on striking, emphasizing on cardio, lots of running. You know, I've seen the Ken's only been pushed to the distance, you know, twice. And I've gone the distance about three times myself. So, you know, really, if it goes to the distance, I think that's going to be my best chance to take it. I've been running, I've been training hard, pushing cardio, hitting mitts. You know, I spar with Levi Queen, and he's a pretty big fella compared to me. So, I mean, size-wise, you know, Ken is a little stouter looking than me, but you know, that doesn't intimidate me at all. I'm going to come in here, I'm going to kick him in the head, I'm going to punch him in the gut, and I'm going to take him down.
Let's talk about, Austin, your most successful fight that you've had so far and why you feel it was as successful.
Well, honestly, OFC 1, when I fought Derek Atkins, you know, I lost. But honestly, I felt like that was kind of my coming out party, you know. Just letting everyone know who I am, and you know that I'm real serious about this. You know that it's not just a game to me. Me and him had a battle. We went in there and went all three rounds, and it was a decision loss. But I couldn't have been more proud, because he was a tough fighter, All American wrestler for OCU, tough fighter. And I went. I went in there and gave him everything I had, you know, and I left no regrets in the cage. And that's how I fight. I go in there, you know, and I'm going to hold my head up high regardless of the situation, you know. But I was really, 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 my spirits were brought high by that fight.
Yeah, and I agree. Derek Atkins is a tough opponent, and I told him he just fought on our last card, of course, Rage in the Cage 29 against Jose Martinez, and, of course, he came out victorious on that one, too. But I told him at that time that he has come so far in the last 8 months, and that just shows you what a hungry fighter, how far you can come in a short amount of time. I mean, he's improved his game so much in just the past 8 months, because I think it had been 8 months since he had fought on one of our prior Rage in the Cage fights, and I saw a different Derek Atkins last month for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Austin, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that fight with Jose. Jose's one of my buddies, man. Yeah, that was a good fight. That was an awesome card you guys put on.
Awesome. Well, Austin, anything else you want to say before you go? Any shout-outs to anybody? Thank yous, you know, to sponsors?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out, first of all, to my brother, Levi the Machine Queen. He's been pushing me hard these past couple of weeks, getting me ready. Shape Fitness, Mike Queen, my striking and conditioning coach. I'm preparing to go in and get this W, and I can't wait till the 15th.
We can't wait either. Thank you so much, Austin, for joining us. We are about to go to your opponent now, Ken Coulter.
Nice talking to you, Headhunter.
Yep, you too.
See you next time, Austin. See you on the 15th. Ken Coulter, you there?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing good.
Hey, Ken, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, D?
Hey, I'm doing real good. I finally got to watch your fight on Rage in the Cage 29 DVD. If you guys haven't got that, man, make sure you get it. It's really awesome. But I got to see the fight.
Good night of fighting if you guys want that DVD. Get with Matt Jackson, our videographer.
Yeah, you were very tough, Ken, very aggressive. I was proud of you. You know, you went straight beast mode, Ken, and it's like you hit another gear and you stayed at that gear, you know. I was real impressed with your survival on the ground and even going for your own submission. You know, your striking is always on point, but man, it just really seemed to set you apart, man. And I want to congratulate you on that. And how did you feel about that fight?
First off, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate that. It means a lot. You know, like, I'm very humbled by that fight. I mean, that fight, he pushed me. Like, he was tough. And I felt like I kind of found myself as far as aggression-wise on that fight. It was something I hadn't got a chance to do, as far as spend a lot of time on top, actually working ground and pound. You know, I really haven't got time to do that with anyone. So it's kind of like an extra thing to my game to where, you know, I'm just learning one step at a time. And I train to be, you know, the best one day. I never claim to be the best now, but one day I will be one of them. You know, there's not just one. No one can ever just tell you, hey, who's the best boxer of all time? Everyone has their own opinion. So I just want to be mentioned in the conversation one day, you know, just to be blessed upon that for me is enough.
Yeah, well, hey, you fought Jacob Bell, and I mean, gosh, that guy is a beast himself, as you mentioned. And I think it was, three separate and deep triangle chokes he had on you, and you just kind of bullied him a little bit with your strength, stood up and slammed him to the ground, breaking free on those. I mean, we saw something beyond a beast that night. I don't know what it was, Ken, but you were on fire.
You just threw it off you, Ken. I mean, I'm telling you, very impressive.
What I'm thinking is another step closer to a dream, man. I just want to hold a title. I mean,
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah,
you know, you fought all Rage in the Cage shows. You fought all Rage in the Cage shows.
Yes.
How about that Rage in the Cage 155 belt, Ken? Tell me about that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with stating the fact of I'm coming for it. I mean, everybody is. I mean, I would assume as a fighter that's your main goal is to be a champion, you know, and at the amateur level and as well as I want to be the pro level. So I just want to get, you know, one step at a time. I'm not worried about anything. You know, that title is, like, out of sight. You know what I mean? That's not even – I got to worry about Austin, man, you know.
Yeah, real talk.
Kind of one of those. That's just how it happened. I mean, yeah, I want it. This just puts me a step closer to it. So, you know, right now I'm focused on him as much as he's focused on me because we both want the same thing.
You know, and you talk about focus, and that's what I want to talk to you about because a lot of you guys know that I took my first jiu-jitsu class just a few weeks ago at OMA in Edmond, and, I mean, I've experienced the triangle choke now. So you had three separate triangle chokes, and from my vantage point, I mean, they were deep chokes. I thought you were in trouble, to be honest. And, I mean, how mentally do you keep yourself calm? And, I mean, how do you prepare for something like that, and how do you get out of that and stay focused when, you know, you're being choked?
I can thank my guys at American Elite for that. They choked me a lot. You know,
just get used to getting choked, huh, Ken?
Hey, eventually you'll learn how to get out. Don't learn that way, but, you know, but mentally, you just got to be there. I mean, you kind of feel like, hey, I can't breathe. I have no oxygen. I have no blood going to my brain. I only have a matter of time before I can sit here. Or I'm going to pass out. So I have one or two things. I'm going to sleep or I'm going to get out. I've already established.
No way to look at it.
I mean, I'm all right with going to sleep, like I say. I mean, but I'm going to fight tooth and nail, man, until then. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody gets choked. I've been choked. And so, like, when it happens, it's just like, dude, you guys get out of here. You know, go to sleep or get out, because unless it's just something terrible like an arm bar or something like that, I ain't tapping. I'm going to sleep. It's okay. There's no shame in it.
Right. Well, I mean,
a
lot of guys would just tapped out, you know. I mean, they wouldn't have hung in there like you did and just powered your way through it is what you did.
That right there is just a blessing. But, you know, I can't get lucky. I know Austin, I've seen him fight before. And with his limbs, and I know he's got a reach on him, too, and I really don't want to play with him, you know. So there's nothing to take lightly at 6'4". So I'm just going to come out and fight myself. I mean, I'm ready to go at anywhere the fight goes, you know, because I know he's exactly the same way. He has experience, so, and he's tough. So he pushed, if he lasts three rounds with Derek, he's tough. So,
yeah.
We know that.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course. And Derek's your teammate, so.
Yeah. And I tackled Derek. He gets to slam me around, too. It's kind of like I'm the. Hey, guys, you want to come train? You can beat up on me. Take it easy. But I love the team, though. I mean, they push me. They get me better. And so I'm not going to doubt his skills in no way. As well as Jacob Bell, you know, any opponent I've ever fought, I never doubted these guys. Like, they got in there because they're ready, and I know that. So only thing I can do is just get myself ready and make sure I'll meet them halfway because, you know, I'm there to make sure I hear the crowd. A lot of times where I could have stood back and, you know, took a couple-second break to have the referee step in, stand us back up, then start again, shoot in for a takedown, start from scratch. I mean, I didn't want that fight, so I kept diving back into his guard, which is very, very risky, but it also puts on a better fight. I mean, I listen to the fight when I'm like, you know, you should be jumping out of his guard, but every time I dive in and go to work, the crowd likes it. So at the end of the day, I'm here to put on the show for people who pay their money. Let's not forget, this is their entertainment. But I still want to win. I'd rather win. I mean, you know, I'm not scared of anything else but losing. Like, winning doesn't mean as much as losing. So I don't want to lose. It's just like, it's fine. You can come do whatever you want to me, but you're going to have to take it. It ain't going to be easy for nobody. Whoever does it, like you know, everybody, every dog has his day. But like I say, my hat's off to Austin. I know he's tough. You know, hey, it's going to be a fight. But, if you know, whatever you want, man, hey, I'm already there.
Hey, Ken, no, you know, this is my favorite fight out of the whole card, I'm going to tell you. Amateur, pro, I'm a big fan of both of you guys. I love you guys to death. Y'all are both just aggressive, tough guys. And this is going to be a great fight, man. This has really got me amped. For both of you guys.
It is, man. I know it is because the simple fact is I know he's tough, man. Like, you go into the fight knowing, like, this guy's tough. Like, you know, you kind of like, I don't really know my opponent. Well, this time I get to know my opponent like I know he knows me. I mean, everybody at this point, you know, kind of starting to get the whole thing if you're fighting around local, you know, which is the point. I love local MMA.
You mentioned, Ken, you know, Derek Atkins is your teammate there at American Elite, and he just fought Austin not too long ago. So has Derek been working on you, helping you, giving you any tips? Have you watched the fight? Do you think that's helping you at all?
I've seen that fight before. I mean, that fight when they fought. They fought, the day before we fought?
Yeah, I think it may have been couple of months ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been a while back, but I think that's what it was. I think they had an event the day before Raging the Cage had an event, something like that. I'm not sure.
I think it was back in April.
April. Yeah, April 18th, and then ours was on the 19th. That was when me and Shine Bly fought.
Yes.
I got to see it, so, I mean, I've seen him in action more than once. I've seen him fight Donald Maddox.
Yeah, remember that one.
I know his style. I mean, I see he's coming with it, so just be ready. I mean,
And Ken, he said he's been watching you since February. He said he knew, you know, in February that one day his path was going to have to cross yours, and he's really been focused on you as an opponent. You know, that says a lot for how much respect he has of you as a fighter as well, you know?
Well, I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, it's mutual respect. I mean, at the end of the day, we both go into it with thinking, hey, I'm better than him. He's better than me. That's what makes it a fight, you know? So it's no big deal. I mean, I'm not worried about anything else besides, I mean, train MMA, what it stands for, mixed martial arts. I mean, stand up, ground game, whatever it may be. That's what we're going to do. I mean, it's no big deal. I mean, we're looking for a fight. I want a good fight. I want to put on a good fight. I don't want anyone to boo. I mean, you paid money for this. So, I mean, let's give the people what they want.
Yeah, and you give the people what you want and what they want. And you've fought five times, all five times, as Dee mentioned before, has been on Rage in the Cage cards so far. And we know eventually you're going to leave us and move on to to other things, and you're just a huge talent in Oklahoma. But
well,
why have you stuck with Raging the Cage so far, this many fights?
Raging the Cage was a good organization from start, I believe. And then we built our own relationship. I got to know you better as well. And, you know, the whole thing with the event we did for the Denny's back in April, you know, like what I told you, a push, push, push. So things like that won't really be a big deal for me because the simple fact is home is what I'm trying to take care of. That's the point of what I'm doing this for. At the end of the day, it's just there's another path. I mean, the neighborhood where I came from is just going downhill. And so that's the name I go by. I mean, it's no mystery where I'm from. I mean, anyone, you know it, we've all been around in Middale area. That's what it's about. And so I'm trying to get there. And in order to make the difference I'm trying to make, I got to get there. And so at this point, everything's a stepping stone. So whether it be accolades like titles or whatever the case may be on the way there, that's where my main goal is. And so I'm just a fraction of the way there. I'm just now digging to learn more. I mean, that's all I want to do is learn. I study film. I study my opponents just like I know they study me. And then I study more film. I mean, then I train. It's just a big thing to me. It's a big deal. I take it very serious. So I'm just ready to get out here and put on a good show for y'all. Like I said, I mean, I don't ever want to have anybody say, man, did you see that fight? Yeah, King Cobra, man, you know, so it's okay. Like, that's what I came for. So I heard him talking, and I like his way of viewing things. That's fine with me. I really don't look at it as anything as I wouldn't have said. Like, any fighter has to be confident in themselves. So we're going to go out here, and we're going to fight, and I guess we already knew that, right?
That's
right. That's awesome, Ken.
We're getting wrapped up here on this segment, but how about before we head out to our next interview, do you have any thank you, shout outs, anybody you want to just say hello to here on air tonight?
So many, but mainly my friends, my family, my fans. I mean, they all know you. You know who you are. If they're listening, you guys know who you are. I mean, I love them more than anything. They push me, like, you know, that sometimes it might not be me getting out of that choke. It might be them. I can hear them sometimes when I'm down there, you know, when the lights are starting to dim out. So thank them, my teammates, Kevin Williams, my head coach, TJ Tomlin, all these guys over at American Elite that get me ready that I fight with. I mean, I can't thank them enough. I mean, and it's just, that's about it. And thank you guys for your time.
Thank you so much, Ken. We always, always appreciate you being on the show, and we look forward to seeing you hopefully later this week for our pre-fight video interview. So look for more information on that on Facebook, and we'll see you next time, Ken. Thank you.
Congrats. Thank you, guys.
Congrats.
Have a good
congrats
night.
On that win. Congrats on that win,
thanks,
Ken.
Thanks, sir. Hey, you too, D, man. Way to lay him down, man.
Hey, wait. We got to do what we got to do.
Awesome.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Thanks, Ken. All right, D, you ready for our next one? Austin Kyle Conrad.
Austin Conrad. I got to see his first win.
That's right, you did. And that was versus Bobby Hoffman, right?
Yes. Austin, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Hey, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. Just got out of training about an hour ago.
Oh, good. Training for this one, huh?
Yeah.
Tell me about, Austin, you know, I'm sorry, Kimber, go ahead.
Okay. Austin, you call yourself Austin No Limit Conrad, and it seems that that's very important to you for people to believe in themselves and to prove to everyone that they can do anything they set their minds to.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The reason I stuck with that name is because, you know, you can really do whatever you put your mind to, and how I feel is there's no limit to how far I'm going to take it in the fighting game, for sure. So it is very important, you know, that people realize that they can do whatever they put their minds to.
I was very impressed when I seen you fight Austin and Lawton. That was the first time I'd got to see you fight. You fought Bobby Hoffman. You got that win. It was a great fight. You know, Bobby's a hungry kid, and you were just as hungry, and your stand up to the ground. I mean, I was really impressed with you, Austin. And when I see you around the fight game, I see it in your eyes. You're focused. You're hungry.
you're ready, you're coming off that win. And I remember after the win, you stood up and they asked you about wrestling or something, and you said, "I'm a natural born wrestler." Is that kind of your game? Is that your fighting style, more or less? And talk about your camp, the guys, the superstars you get to train with, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, wrestling is definitely my background, but I mean, I've adapted so much to my kicks and my boxing and my jiu-jitsu. I mean, the gym I train at, you know, you got JC Cottrell, Diego Pinchilingue, Milk Sanchez, you got the Spoons, Ryan Hayes. So it's like all around, you know, getting beat up to beat people up, you know, getting choked out so I can choke people out. I mean, those guys, they push me as hard as they can in training. You know, I give it all to them for sure, because I mean, I'm moving up quick. I'm young. I'm only 20, you know, but I'm moving so fast because of those guys. And I just feel blessed to be where I'm at. I feel like I'm in the best place at the right time right now.
Amen.
I should certainly see that in your attitude. Just in the last time that I got to speak to you, which is that pre-fight interviews for Diego Pichinge when he was on the last card, and I got to speak to you a little bit that night. I could see your hunger and I could see your excitement, and you know, even at that point you couldn't wait for this card in August. We're just a few weeks away, so I know you're getting excited about this one.
Oh yeah, I'm getting amped up. I'm so amped, like, and I'm hungry mentally and physically. Like, my weight cut is insane. I feel healthy, but I'm starving at the same time. But yeah, I'm definitely, you know, I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. And I feel very confident in this upcoming fight. I'm working as hard as I can every day. My main, yeah, it's 1% better every day for sure.
Well, and in Austin, you know, you got a lot more experience over your opponent, Justin Ware. I believe he's 0-0. So I don't know much about him, but I know you got experience, like we talked about, your hunger, the camp you're with. You know, have you got to know anything about your opponent? Do you have any expectations for this fight of, you know, you don't got to tell your game plan or nothing, but how do you feel as far as your experience level going into this fight?
Well, I mean, confidence wise in the cage, you know, everyone gets nervous when they go in there, but the more you do it, the more you adapt to it. So I'm feeling very confident in that. Plus at training camp, I'm in the cage every day anyway. So very confident in that. I know he's 6'2", I'm 6'3", so he'll have some reach on him. But, I mean, I'm ready for whatever. I'm ready for the ground. I'm ready standing up, you know, against the cage. I'm ready for it all. I'm very prepared mentally, physically, everything, like I said. I don't have any expectations, just I'm ready to go all three rounds. I'm ready for a war, and I'm excited at the same time.
That's right.
You know, you told me before that you, one of your goals is to get our Rage in the Cage 170 AMI belt. Right now, of course, that belongs to Julian Learn. So far, he's unbeaten in the cage. So when do you think you'll be ready for that fight?
Well, right now, you know, I'm still young. So right now I'm fighting at 155. I've dropped from 185, 170 to 155. So my main thing is right now is just stay focused on one fight at a time. But definitely, you know, after this cut, I'm going to go through some muscle gaining stuff with some coaches. Got a lot of stuff planned out, and hopefully I'll see him in the cage soon. Before I go pro, I actually want to take two belts, the 155 belt and the 170 belt, so I'm really working towards that. But right now I'm just trying to stay focused on one fight at a time, but I definitely see that in the near future.
Yeah. You know, I love those goals because so many people are in a rush to go pro. And, you know, I think that as an amateur, you really have to, and this is just my opinion, but you've got to set those kind of goals for yourself and those milestones, because going pro is just such a huge step. I mean, the caliber of fighters is just such a huge difference, you know, once you go pro. So, you know, I'm always impressed. I know that Ken Coulter also has said that he's got that goal. You know, he doesn't want to go pro until he's got an AMI belt, you know, to wear. So, yeah, I'm really impressed with that, Austin.
Well, thank you. Yeah, how I look at going pro is, like, that's it, you know. I mean, amateur records go away, but once you're pro, that's it. You know, you win, keep winning, you know, you get to the top spot. That's what everyone's here for, is, you know, mainly stability for your family, get to the main show, you know. Yeah, I'm definitely taking my time, being patient.
I tell you what, that makes the 155 belt even more exciting now. Man,
We got a big line of one of guys wanting to take that belt. That's going to be an exciting belt in the next year.
Yeah.
For sure. Looking forward
to it. No kidding. I get a message about probably at least 2 a week of guys asking when they can have their turn at that 155 belt. And I'm like, there's
wow.
already a line. There's already a line for that one.
Oh, yeah.
You're definitely worthy, Austin. I know you've been working hard. I know a lot about the guys at your camp and great things. You know, they produce great fighters. And you being a young man like yourself, I really appreciate myself being an older fighter, seeing the goodness in you and what you're doing to give back. I know you do physical training camps for people and such like that, don't you? And give back and do Herbalife. You do many good things for the community and others. And it really touches me seeing a young fighter like yourself growing at such a great school and giving back at the same time. You know, is that a task to do that sometimes?
Well, I mean, that's just kind of my lifestyle, really, because when I was younger, you know, I got picked on. You know, I was always told, like, you can't do this, you can't do that. Even with fighting, you know, like, I lost 3 fights in a row, and people were like, man, this isn't for you, you know, get out of this. I was like, no, I'm going to do this. I mainly, you know, I don't do this for myself, really. I do this for everyone that believes in me, people that have doubts, you know, like people that get picked on all the time. Like, I do this to show people that anything that you want to be, you can be that. And plus, I'm a father, and I'm a young father, but I'm still growing with him, and I'm learning how to be a leader for him, you know. And, you know, when he
Amen.
Gets older, I want people to be able to talk about, like, man, your dad was awesome. He helped me out so much. You know, I don't want my son to hear negative things about me. So, of course, like, growing, you know, personal development, Herbalife, everything, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I just love giving back to people. I love making people feel happy and helping them and make them feel good about themselves. So, yeah, I mean, when I fight, you know, it's not for me. It's for everyone else out there who doesn't believe or does believe.
And you know, Austin, that's a win in itself, brother, that at 20 years old, you're driven, you're focused, you see what the task ahead is, and you're taking it head on. And,
you
know,
the big picture, what's more
yeah.
important in life? I mean, is it living for yourself or is it living to bless others? And,
yeah, wow,
I mean,
I'm really touched.
How many people do you know that are in their 40s and 50s and haven't learned that lesson yet? I mean, and Austin is sitting here at 20 years old and he's already got it.
Yeah, he's an amazing young man, Austin.
Well, I
and
appreciate
I
that.
Forward.
And I just got to say I give all my credit straight up to J.C. Cottrell and Diego Pinchulingue because they have helped me grow up so much. They took me off the streets, and not only fighting-wise, but life-wise, those are the main guys I give all my credit to because they've helped me grow so much. Straight up.
It's great to have that support. And, I mean, kudos to both of them for, you know, giving of themselves and taking you under their wing. I mean, you know, it's such a blessing for you, and I'm so glad that, you know, two guys took it upon themselves to do that and so that you can give back. And, you know, we appreciate you being on the show, Austin, and hope to have you on again. So much to talk to you about. We have to wrap up right now, but before we go, can you tell me, are there any shout-outs or thank yous or anything? I know you've mentioned JC and Diego. Anybody else you want to thank tonight?
Yeah, first, give a shout-out to my son, of course, Braylon, my baby boy. My little sisters, Ashton and Avery, my mom and my aunt, Jake and Josh and all my Herbalife fam at Peak Nutrition, all the people at Apex MMA, I love y'all, and everyone that supports me, man, just keep supporting me and I'm going to take it far. I do this for everyone, and I appreciate y'all for sure. I mean, all the positive things you have to say about me just lets me know I'm doing everything right, so really appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much, Austin. We appreciate having you on. Good luck on
Keep
your fight
up,
August
Austin.
15th. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
I'm ready to watch it. Hey, go get it, brother.
I will for sure. I'll see y'all there.
Thank you. Sounds good. We'll see you probably at pre-fight interviews hopefully this week, so I'll let you know time and date.
All right, for sure. Y'all have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
You too.
All right, Dee. We've had some great interviews so far. We've got Zachariah Kelly coming up still. But let's go ahead and take a break from the interviews for just a moment for some tips on getting through some of life's ground and pound. Here's Pastor Ken Kerbo.
Sounds great.
Hi, this is Pastor Ken. The Bible says in John 16:33,
I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. The intensity inside of an MMA cage can scare you, discourage you, and confuse you. In the same way, the intensity of the fight inside the cage of life can really challenge our peace at times. Going toe-to-toe with an enemy that is throwing haymakers from every angle, trying to knock us out, can really discourage us if we don't keep our eyes upon Christ. It is during these difficult rounds that the words of our heavenly trainer seem a bit confusing. I mean, how can we have peace during the fight when we are being hit from all sides by adversity? It is important to understand between rounds that Christ's peace is not the same as the world's. The average fighter of life thinks peace will come only if they are able to win every fight. However, we are not promised peace through our personal victories, but through our relationship with the Father. This bond will ensure peace even during the most heated battles. We can never fix the fight so that we feel safe and secure every round. The way to tap out anxiety isn't by fighting weaker opponents. Instead, victory comes from being hidden in Christ and fighting through the difficult rounds with quiet confidence in God's fight plan. Remember, it's called a fight for a reason. So keep fighting.
Wow.
Amen.
Powerful,
amen.
Powerful words. I'm always so, so blessed by Pastor Ken Kerbo. And, you know, I love it. We have people listening on this show that aren't Christians. We have people listening that, you know, may not ever show up in church Sunday. And that's what this is about. It's about encouraging people. It's about giving them words that relate to their everyday life. And whether you're a Christian or you're a non-Christian, everybody needs that encouragement.
Yes, amen, amen. MMA can bring that in this day and time. MMA, with these positive fighters giving back in a positive way, it's going to build a positive new youth. So that's what it's about. That was amazing.
You know, and that's what Rage in the Cage is about. I mean, we are about doing our best to give back, to build up, and not just build people up in their fighting game, but build them up mentally, whether it be spiritually, emotionally. I mean, you know, encouragement goes a long way.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
It can really make or break a person.
It can, and you know, that was what was good with talking to Austin is hearing his story, and wow, just really inspirational. And you know, a lot of fighters, we do go through a lot of adversity in life, and you know, to be a fighter is to be a little bit of a different person at times. But it's amazing how even the word that Pastor Ken just spoke made me to relate as being a fighter. You know, it was just what Ken Coulter just said of when he's in that triangle choke, he's getting hit on all different angles, but he had to stay calm and focused to get out of it, you know, and believe that he could get out of it. So that was really awesome.
Just kind of like life, you've got to stay focused. You've got to believe that whatever situation you're in, you can get out of it. I mean, you know, who would have thought MMA is kind of an analogy of life? I mean,
it's starting now to be more seen like that. You know, when I first started in boxing and then MMA came into play, it was still looked at as, you know, a drunken ballroom or a drunken bar fight, you know, and it has progressed here quickly in the state of Oklahoma over just several, you know, few years into really being a positive outlet with, you know, fighters from the lowest to the highest level in Oklahoma, all of them giving back, you know, because they faced adversity in their life. And this is a platform of, like Ken Coulter said, it's entertainment, but it is a platform of modern day gladiators that can give back to the youth that look up to them and help change the world. That's what we're here to do.
Right. And I tell you, I feel great to be a part of it. I mean, who would have thought the news girl who worked, you know, my entire life in news would be so blessed to be part of a community, mixed martial arts community. I mean, and hopefully I've had a positive influence in the short time I've been involved in this. I mean, I've been here about 6 months. And,
oh.
I mean, every day I feel like I'm blessed. And no matter how many people tell me that I've blessed them, I mean, I feel like I've been blessed.
Isn't that awesome? I tell you, Kimber, you have been a blessing to MMA. You have been a blessing to Raising the Cage, but you take it a step further and you bless the Oklahoma MMA. I think I speak for every fighter that you are a true blessing to have part of this this industry and this sport. And just really, really honored to be here even co-hosting with you. You've been, you know, you might have been in a short time, but you study hard, you learn what you're doing. And like you said, you've already been in a triangle choke. So, hey, you've come a long way.
Never would have guessed that, right? Well, you know, Zachariah Kelly is waiting on the line for us, so how about we go to him and talk about upcoming fight?
Hey,
Zach, are you here?
Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Awesome. Great to hear from you.
How's the Punisher?
I'm just leaving. I'm at the gym still, but we just got finished cleaning it up, so you just caught me right in time.
Awesome. How's the Punisher?
The Punisher's great. Daddy training.
All right.
Started my cut, so that's how that goes.
I tell you, Zach, you know, the
we
first time
like
I...
You, Steve. We can't just eat what we want the whole time. So fight.
I know y'all were hating on me for that, Zach. But I tell you, you know, from the first time I met you and everything I'd heard about you and following your career, you are one tough guy. I want to tell you that from my personal perspective is I know you've been in the industry a long time, but when I seen you stand up and fight Lamont Stafford, who I train with, I think a lot of Oklahoma realized how tough you were. I mean, you almost knocked him out. I mean, you got strikes that are amazing, and then you know, that's what showed me how tough Zach Kelly is. You're one tough guy and have fought a lot of tough opponents. Am I correct there?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for noticing that. Yeah, I do. Lamont was a tough competitor, too. And if he wasn't so tall, maybe I would have seen that he was dazed and went out there. But,
oh, man.
I don't like staring up at my opponents. I like looking through them. And
yes.
So, you know, as he stopped and not attacked me, I'm like, okay, maybe something's wrong.
I was trying to yell out, but he just couldn't hear me.
Yeah.
But he was a great opponent, though.
Oh, that was an awesome fight, Zach. I mean, I think it was a kick to the face, you know. And this is something I was going to talk to you about even coming into Raging the Cage 30 is, you know, you have fought for a lot of great organizations. You know, you fought for Doc Tripp, who I've known for a long time, for C3. And I'm so honored to have you on Raising the Cage, brother. Just your level of fighter and where you've been and who you fought for. But, you know, with the Lamont Stafford fight, I mean, he had to go down, take you down to the ground and take you out with the armbar. I mean, that was an intense push. You pushed him harder than I've seen him be pushed, you know, in a minute. And just, you know, everyone that talks about Zach Kelly is he's a tough guy. But going to that fight, you know, we didn't know that you had any ground game really at all. You know, we know you as a striker, a tough guy that hits hard. And, you know, you put Lamont in a knee bar right off the bat, you know, when y'all went to the ground the one time. And I was like, whoa. And he said you had it set so deep, you know, it hurt his knee for weeks. And you were pretty good on the ground. And then, you know, your next fight, you went out and just smoked a guy. But how do you feel coming into this fight, Zach, fighting Haley, who's from Solid, who you know they do a lot of jits, but I know you, Zach, and I know that you've been working your ground game. So how do you feel? I mean, most of his fights that I researched were by submission, you know. So what do you see with that?
First off, you know, Clement, he's a great fighter. I haven't seen much of him, you know, just by his record and what people talk. I mean, he comes from a good, solid camp, you know, solid Tober. I mean, they have good jiu-jitsu, and then everybody says he's a great striker. So it's going to be an awesome fight. You know, I always respect whoever I go against, never have anything towards anybody unless somebody wants to push it to that level. But still, even that, I'm more humble. And as far as me, in the beginning of all that, the beginning, I was all about banging, man. A little bit of wrestling in school, but mainly I'm a banger. And then I worked more on my jiu-jitsu. You know, Damon Meyer with Defiant Martial Arts and Willie Pierce, you know, they helped me a long ways on my jiu-jitsu game. And I don't know if you've seen, some people see now, I mean, I'm a blue belt now. I won Naga last month. And, you know,
wow.
It's just going and going. And I've become more of a complete fighter. I mean, not only do I worry about just jiu-jitsu, but I worry about putting it into the striking form, jiu-jitsu striking form, you know, where you got your hands, you got your feet, you got your knees, your elbows, you got all these different submissions from all different areas. So, you know, I'm just trying to put it all well-rounded. And but as always, everybody knows everything, no matter who you fight, whatever, anything can happen at any possible moment.
You really, as Dee mentioned, you really have a lot in common with Camille as far as your fighting style, and both of you like to hit hard, and both of you also are blue belts. Is that correct?
Yes,
so
that
really
is a great
war, that.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute war. I mean, it's one of those fights to where, you know, of course, as Dee mentioned before, you going in, you know, you feel pretty confident about your chances of winning, and I'm sure he feels the same. But for the rest of us, I mean, it's just, you know, looking at the outside, you know, outside view here, it's a tough call.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I say, I mean, no matter what, I mean, everybody got their favorites. Everybody can see from past opponents. But, I mean, when it all comes down to it, it all comes down to that night, you know. I mean, it could have been something happened to you that day, you know, okay, you're pissed about that, and then you go in there, you might fuck up the night. Or better yet, you go out there and, you know, you destroy. Or you're winning a match, and next thing you know, you get hit with something that you didn't see, and then you're out. I mean, anything and everything can happen. But, you know, you take two solid guys with pretty much the same and go out there, you know, it's going to be a war. You playing, that's the whole thing about MMA. It's matching up the best guy with the best guy. You know, similarities to make a complete match.
I mean, you put that real good, Zach. And, you know, I've been in a lot of those situations myself. You know, flashbang, this can happen. There's something you don't see. You know, and that's your skill level and that is something you have a lot more experience than him that I could research in the cage. And I tell you, you're one tough guy. I mean, with, like you said, the Lamont Stafford fight, you earn nothing but even more 100% respect for you as a man and a fighter and the things you do. And you're the ultimate punisher. And then when I seen your fight directly after Lamont's, forgive me for not, I didn't have this in my notes to even bring up, but you fought a guy, I think you won quick in the first round, is that correct?
Yes, it was Anthony Messias, 23 seconds, first round, KO, TKO, whatever you want to call it, do that twice. But
Go ahead, Zach.
Oh, but my opponent, his fight, he fought the same dude. He submissioned him a minute and 40 seconds,
something like that.
So, I mean, that makes it even more of a greater match, you know, to see that, you know, we fought the same guy, and now we're going against each other. So
that's exactly what I was going to bring up, is Haley beat him as well, first round in the submission. So have you fought since then, Zach?
Yes, I did. I went to El Salvador actually, and that was a nice little trip right there. it was a different world when you got the MS-13 around you and everything. But it was really neat though. I went in there and I fought a kickboxer out down there with 25 fights, and I TKO'd him in 44 seconds. So,
wow. So you're coming off two explosive wins.
You mentioned, too, you just fought last at El Salvador. So, interesting question here, I think. Where, if you had one place that you could choose to fight worldwide, where would you fight?
I got multiple. I like to travel. You know what I'm saying? You want me to go fight in Australia? I go to Australia. You know, I'm one of those types. Because I've been all over a lot of different places. due to my boxing career, my MMA career, and I go, and then the first day, I mean, while my weight cut, I don't even care if my body's drained. I still go sightsee everything, you know, and then go weigh in. Next day, I'm all eating, and I sightsee, then I go fight. I look at it like vacation, and of course, every time you go on vacation, you end up fighting some birds. So I might as well get paid for it, too. But
truth there.
Today, I would probably like to go to Tokyo.
Oh.
I would like to go
there. Hey, there you go. I thought you were going to say Vegas, Zach. I want to see you out at UFC, man.
Yeah. I actually was supposed to – I went to Vegas a while back. I did for – they called me out of the blue. I don't know how they got my number or anything. And then they called me out there. They said, if you want to come out, you know, try out for the Ultimate Fighter and whatnot. And I'm like, sure, you know, yeah, let's go.
Oh.
And they did. And this is when they had Shane Carlin versus Roy Nelson, the 70-pound. And I flew out there. I ended up flying out there with Cortez Coleman. And, we boosted the whole way. It's awesome. We spent 5 days. You know, all they did was our
cowboy
tests, MRIs, you know, everything, all different tests. And everything came out good. And then they had the interview. I guess the interview is the big spot, you know, to make it or break it. But I came in there. I weighed 184. I wasn't really as big then. And for a 170 fight, everybody else come in weighing 195, 207. And they called me 3 weeks later after they from that, and they said that we want you, but we don't think you're heavy enough for the 170. So keep your head up, and when we just keep fighting, and then if we call you for the 155, or if we need a backup, we'll call you. So
wow.
I guess that option's always out there. So
what an opportunity for you.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was like, shoot, free trip to Vegas. That was cool. I was just disappointed because they didn't want to see me hitting any mitts or sparring or jiu-jitsu, rolling, you know, nothing. They just wanted me to take all these tests. But Mike Ricci, who won that fight, he was about the same weight as me. So.
Wow, yeah, I've heard that, and I've heard that when it comes to UFC, it's not all about your fighting skills. It's about really important to them is your interview skills and your personality on camera.
Yeah, I didn't know that then. I was just trying to be all like nice and stuff. Yeah, I train.
Yeah.
Zach said, let me hit something, huh?
Yeah.
Let me hit something.
And I mentioned
that
last time.
The reality show.
I mentioned that last time on the show, too, is, you know, a lot of fighters don't know that, and that's why we offer the services that we do here at Rage in the Cage. You know, we have a full media team. We have the radio show, and then we also have the video team, which is me on camera and then my videographer, Matt Jackson, and that
mm-hmm.
gives an opportunity for the fighters to practice. I mean, you can have the best fight game ever. I mean, this is proven so many times. You can have the best fight team and you can beat everybody else out for that spot, but if you don't have a good interview and you don't have good skills in front of the camera, you know, that could break it. So that's definitely the reason that I'm here for Rage in the Cage, is to offer that to the fighters and give them an opportunity to showcase their interview skills as well as their fighting skills.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a big factor. If y'all haven't took it out there, fighters, must take speech 101. Learn to get in front of people and talk. Yeah.
And I'm sure it's intimidating. It's a lot more intimidating to talk in front of them than it is to talk, you know, to me, I'm sure. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. These people, they're, like, jeopardizing my faith if I make it on the show or not. I mean, I was just like, I don't know what I say.
I'm really happy to have you on Rage in the Cage 30, Zach. It's no disrespect to Haley. He's a great guy, great opponent, does great mm-hmm. things for the game. But, you know, me and Lamont are going to be there, and we're going to be pulling for you, Zach. Definitely believe in your game, and much love, much respect. We're going to be there pulling for you, Rage in the Cage 30, brother. So best of luck August 15th. Go out and do your work, man.
All right, we'll do it, man. Thank you very much, Dee. Appreciate it. It's an honor
to be on this and actually fight for y'all local and get some local love instead of out and about like I always been.
We had the whole team fighting that day. We got a lot of guys fighting that night.
Yeah, we actually have a lot of Defiant people fighting that night. I mean, it's going to be explosive. Kevin Gutierrez, Jason Baker, myself.
Oh, yeah, Jason Baker. Wow, what a win he had, huh?
Yeah, he did good, you know. I mean, he actually, you know, he was listed in the corner, those stiff jabs. Sonny Law was fighting as well, everybody. And then, he was focused. That's the main part. A lot of the part when people jump in the ring or cage is the start-off point. You know, a lot of people just freeze. And what you got to do is throw out a jab, throw out a kick, you know, acknowledge that this is a fight and go. You know, I mean, it's not a dance to let the other dude hit you, you know.
Yes,
right, exactly. Yeah, we would like to have Jason Baker and Kevin Gutierrez on the show maybe next week, so you let them know for us, okay, Zach?
Yes, I sure will.
All right, and before we go, do you have any shout-outs, any thank yous, anybody you want to just say hello to on air tonight? You've got the floor.
I'd like to say, you know, of course, God, if it wasn't for him, none of this would be possible. I'd like to thank, like I said, Defiant MMA, Willie Pierce, you know, for helping me along the way, you know, showing me. I don't know if y'all knew before, but, I mean, I jumped around a lot. I didn't really have a home. I started out by myself for the longest, and I made it pretty far, too, but it's best to have people, you know, that you can learn from and work from instead of just yourself isolated all the time. And, you know, I mean, Dick, shout out to y'all, D, you know, Cameron, you know, put me out on here and the whole Racing K show. And I look forward to showing some fireworks.
Well, thank you. We're really looking forward to it as well. Amen, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Can't wait to watch it, brother.
Yep. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and listen in next week. I'm hoping to have Camille Haley on the show next week so he can kind of answer what we've talked about this week with you. So hopefully that'll happen next week for those of you listening.
Hey, and Zach, you know what I'm excited for? I just remembered, you know, I love your walkout, you know, with the Punisher shirt and the Punisher music. Raising the Cage now gets to see that. You know, I don't think you showed them this walkout before. That was awesome, man. Gave me chills.
Oh, right on. Thanks, brother. Yeah. A lot of people don't notice that, but yeah, they all mix in together.
it is together, the Punisher. So looking forward to it, Zach. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you calling in tonight and talking with us.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you. Y'all have a nice evening.
Hopefully we'll see you later this week for a pre-fight video interview, so I'll let you know time and date soon. All right. Well, oh, my goodness, I am so thankful for Skippy Cohen and MMA Madhouse because, you know, I originally scheduled this show to be an hour show, but every week, both weeks so far, we've had such good interviews and great things to talk about. And thankfully, Skippy thought ahead, and he gave us an hour and a half to two-hour block. So we are not over in time. We're just, you know, using up the time that he's already allotted for us. So I'm grateful for that. I didn't realize I talked so much until I started this radio thing.
I think me too, Kimber. It's just an exciting topic, exciting stories. It's just really what MMA is about now, and that's something I feel blessed to be part of, and I know you do too. And Raging the Cage is, you know, in my opinion, one of the best promotions in the state, and definitely in Oklahoma City. And so, great things are happening. So.
Definitely great things are happening. I mean, Raging the Cage 30, we could really talk for another hour on that card and really going through the fights and, you know, what our picks are and what we think each fighter's strengths are. And hopefully we will get to that on one of the shows before August 15th. I hope all of you stay tuned for each of our Monday night shows. I mean, this is your chance to listen to each of the fighters and learn about them. And this is your chance to, you know, fighters to get your name out there and get a fan base. I mean, all of that's important. I've said it many times over and over. It's so important to get your fighting style right, but it's also important to build a fan base. I mean, a fighter that can sell tickets, I mean, you know as well as me, Dee, that's important in this game.
Yeah, it is important. And, you know, and even going back to Ken Coulter's speech where he heard the fans.
That kind of stuff is important, you know.
Yeah, the more fans you have in the audience, the more you have to prove and the stronger you're going to fight. I mean,
it feels better, you know. In my career, I've had to travel and fight. I've had to travel and fight big-name competitors. I fought Jared Rochalt, who's now undefeated in the UFC. Fought Trey LePay Morrison, undefeated professional boxer. And I had to travel a lot, you know, and fighting Rage in the Cage 29, I had my fan base right there in Oklahoma City, and that's what's so good about Oklahoma City and Rage in the Cage is it felt amazing. It sets the atmosphere. It sets the tone. You can really feel the difference as a fighter. And for all of us local fighters, I know I can speak for us because I've spoken to us and with us. We appreciate so much of Rage in the Cage just in taking the time to have a radio show, to give back to Oklahoma, to give back to these fighters. It is going to grow and produce good fruit here in Oklahoma. And every one of us here, all the fighters, the fans, Rage in the Cage, it's all a blessing. So tons of good coming out of this.
You know, I've said this earlier tonight to you, D, and, you know, when you focus on putting good first, and when you focus on, in my case, trying to put God first, that's when you see fruit, and that's when you see blessings. And I really feel like that's what we're experiencing at Rage in the Cage, is we're trying to put the good first and put God first. And, you know, I feel like that we're being blessed because of it.
Yes, it's definitely something that I've seen, you know, as a fighter and working with Rage in the Cage, it's something that is a testimony, I could testimony to, that I have seen blessings and gains and growths. And there's so many people to thank for it, from the sales team to the promoter, Mike Crawford, who is, I consider, a brother and a friend, to, you know, our matchmakers, our coaches, our teams that are interested in fighting for Rage in the Cage. And, you know, every one of these local fighters, this is a dream, you know. And Rage in the Cage, from the pre-fight interviews to the fights to the post-fight, you know, everything is just a blessing as a fighter. And that's a testament of what Rage in the Cage is about.
You know, it is. And we're a family. I mean, all the people behind the scenes, I mean, we've got, like, our photographers, Randy, and we've got Corey Chaffee, and we've got Matt Jackson, we've got Greg Ferguson. You helped me out here. We've got so many people that are behind the scenes, and they are the people that make these shows happen. And these are people that, you know, it's no joke. There's not a huge paycheck when it comes to local MMA, you know, but it's because we all have the heart. We want to see local MMA grow. We want to see these fighters grow, and we're willing to put forth that effort. I mean, the radio show that we're doing right now, it takes time to put that on. But it's something that we're willing to do for fighters, and that we are blessed to be able to do this.
Yes, and it's blessed to see the pool of fighters that are interested in fighting for Rage in the Cage. You know, that's where it becomes, you know, paying it back is these fighters, you know, due to the Rage in the Cage going a step above. These fighters are excited to fight for Rage in the Cage. I mean, just talking to Zach Kelly, I mean, C3 fights with Doc Ron Tripp are big fights in Oklahoma, and he fought a lot of fights on that card. And now he's fighting for Rage in the Cage 30 against maybe one of his toughest opponents. I mean, that says a lot for Rage in the Cage as an organization in itself. Then doing benefit fights and giving back, and like you said, and just a blessing, just saying to you, Kimber, you know, you are probably the most loved woman in MMA in Oklahoma. Everybody loves you. You do a great job. Matt Jackson, great guy. Y'all two have really taken not only Rage in the Cage, but the whole fight industry in Oklahoma to another level. And it's a blessing for everyone involved. So thank you very much. And a big shout out to Matt Jackson, great guy. I got to see him Sunday, and I got the Rage in the Cage 29 DVDs. A lot of guys have hit me up. Kimber, do you have a way or some advice on how we can give these guys, because you got to get Rage in the Cage 29 DVD, guys. It's two DVDs. It's only $20. Great footage. So I know some of you guys have been asking me how to get them. And, you know, I told a couple of you I'd pick them up for you. But, Kimber, do you have anything on how these guys can get these Rage in the Cage 29 CDs?
Yeah. Go to our Facebook page. Look us up, Rage in the Cage Oklahoma. And on there, I'm going to post a link to Matt Jackson so that you guys can go ahead and purchase DVDs from him. And he has DVDs spanning back until November, I think, back to Rage in the Cage, maybe 25. So definitely you don't want to miss Rage in the Cage 29. That's an explosive night of fights. But any of the fights, if you've been involved on any of the other cards, he still has those DVDs available for purchase. So definitely go to our Facebook page, and I will, like I said, I'll post a link to Matt Jackson so you can get in touch with him and order those directly through him. We also have photos of a lot of the events. And I can also give you information to get with our photographers. I think they sell those DVDs or CDs of photos for $10. So lots of exciting things if you've been on a card to provide for you. So I know our photographers last time also did a photography session free with the fighters. Anybody that needed a good fight photo, they were available to do those for free. And I'm assuming they may be able to do that again this card. So lots of great options for fighters when it comes to getting your name out there and getting some professional photos done and some professional videos of yourself.
Yes, and that's what's bringing the quality of fighters that we're getting. And so can't go wrong. Rage in the Cage 30 is going to be an amazing fight. I'm so ready for August 15th. I can barely stand it. The Farmer's Market, I love the venue. It's one of the oldest fight venues in the state, especially Oklahoma City. So what a better place, no better place to have a fight card like this. So I'm super excited, Kimber.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited too, and goodness gracious, I think we've taken almost an hour and a half for the show. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up pretty soon here. But those of you listening tonight, please go to our Facebook site, Rage in the Cage Oklahoma, just search for that on Facebook. Let us know what you think about the show, but most importantly, I want you guys to let me know what you think about co-host Dee Burchfield, what kind of job he did tonight. I think he did a phenomenal job. If you would like to hear him every week as my permanent co-host, let's let him know that so I can get him on board permanently, because I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Thank you. It was definitely my pleasure. It was a blessing, and I would be honored to help out, especially with Oklahoma fighters and local Oklahoma fighters, and doing this every week. So, yeah, if you guys liked it, let me know, and I'll come back and help Kimber every week. So it'd be a blessing. But it was definitely my pleasure, Kimber. Thanks for having me.
Well, it would be a blessing for me, so I can't wait to hear from everybody. So thank you all for joining us for our second episode of Rage in the Cage Hour here on MMA Madhouse. Special thanks to Skippy Cohen and the whole MMA Madhouse team for producing the show and running the board for us. Thanks to Dee Burchfield for co-hosting. Oh, gosh, who do we have on tonight? Austin Conrad, Austin Gunner, Ken Coulter, Zachary Kelly. Did I forget anybody? Thank you guys all for – was that it?
That was the crew, yep.
Awesome. Thanks to all of you for being on the program and for all you fans for taking the time to listen. I mean, an hour and a half program, so we appreciate you sticking with us. Be sure to get your tickets to Rage in the Cage 30. You can get them from any fighter, anybody we talked to tonight, or anybody on the card should have tickets. And for more information, like I said before, visit us on Facebook. We hope to see you all August 15th in Oklahoma City. And on that note, let's head over to Ken Kerbo for our out prayer and some music. Thank you so much for joining us.
Father, we pray for peace in this troubled day of our lives. We ask that you take things that we don't understand and give us the knowledge to understand. I ask that when the enemy comes against us, that we will stand strong in our faith in you. I pray that when our opponent in life has a hold on us, that we won't tap out, but that we will tap into your love and to your grace. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage. Better keep your hands up. Take down full mount without giving heads up. Secure your limbs or you're gonna hear a snap. This ground and pound will lay you down for a nap. I sink it in and my advice is you should tap. I wouldn't be scared because I'm comfortable on my back. And if we're talking about jujitsu, I promise my rubber guard will get you with my overhand, you won't know what hit you. I promise that the fans ain't gonna miss you. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network.